Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Want to stream Cognitive Dissonance to your Android or iPhone? Buy the app. Go to dissonancepod.com and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. Each purchase helps support the show.
Hey, Cecil and Tom. It's Cameron from Washington. I don't know whether to thank you for this or be really fucking pissed off at you. But effectively, I was listening to your latest episode, and somewhere between your horrifying butchering of the name Indian Jekyll, I don't know how to pronounce it either, I'm just a very fat American as well, and hunting and eating Ewoks, I just couldn't help but laughing like a fucking maniac. I listened to your podcast in a computer lab. A dead silent, air-conditioned computer lab with about 12 people and two very strict teachers. The school has unwittingly allowed the passage of podcasts and allowed filth to infect their servers like yours. And so this is where I usually listen to Cognitive Dissonance. And so in this silent room, I just burst out laughing. And as a result of it, I have gotten a stern talking to, and... I have now been awarded a lunch detention. So I think, thank you. Fuck those guys. Thanks, guys. Goodbye. Glory hole.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome, Matt. This is episode 138, the Boorish Laughter episode.
I'm cackling. I'm purposefully cackling right
yes,
now.
It is. We asked, you know, Cecil, we have naught but ourselves to blame. We asked for iTunes reviews, and several of our listeners were kind enough to go to iTunes and leave reviews. We did, however, get another 2-star review wherein they accused us of cackling and derided our boorish laughter. I believe they did that with a monocle and a top hat.
They did. They called Mr. Peanut on the phone to complain. They were like, hey, Mr. Peanut, I listened to this podcast a couple of times. You know what's so funny about that review that made me laugh is the person's name is like Mark the App Rating Maniac or something like that. And he's rated one thing.
It's
like,
us. Oh.
It's like,
us.
You're the fucking lamest maniac in the history of maniacs, good sir. Let me tell you. And I'm wearing my monocle to call you good sir, by the way.
I love the idea, too, that somebody would spend a tremendous amount of time being like, you know what I'm known for? Rating apps. Boom, bitches. I'll fucking rate an app like nobody's bitten it.
I got a 2-star. I got a 2-star over here. I'll fuck anything that moves.
You know, look, everybody's got to be good at something. I don't know what I'm good at yet, but I'm
good
hoping
at cackling
to find out.
I'm fucking good at cackling and boorish laughter.
Boorish
That's what I'm
laughter.
Good at. It always strikes me too when these people that are like, they laugh too much or they're laughing. Oh my God. It's just like, your life is the worst life anybody's ever lived. You are the worst person in the world. Yep. You are the most, like, could you imagine how unfucking fun that person is to be around? We're just like, will you stop laughing at stuff?
And I went to this party and all these people were like enjoying themselves. And I was there to have an argument with somebody, but nobody would argue. They just wanted
to punch somebody in the balls.
Enjoy themselves.
So I just sat in the corner and punched myself in the balls.
You are watching the beginning and the birth of the New World Order. And you want to call me crazy? Go to hell. Call me crazy all you want.
So the first story we're going to cover comes from Right Wing Watch, right? Yes, it does. Ha. Click.
Ha. You've won.
It wasn't working. Comes from Right Wing Watch. Beck, God told me to sit down and shut up because he has absolute miracles in store for the Blaze. So God is evidently a website designer for chubby people now.
Yeah. That is God's like a pushy marketing agent. Sit down and shut up, kid. I'm taking control. He's like got like a 40s shirt on, like in a vest. He's not wearing a suit coat. He's just got the vest on and like a cig hanging out of his mouth and one of those like floppy hats. And he's like, sit down, kid. I'm going to show you how to run this thing.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like
a shady lot. Yeah.
He's like the newspaper editor for Peter Parker from like
Jonah
Spider-Man.
Jameson. Like he's got the streaks of white hair on the side. Oh, that's awesome.
He's a hard bitten newspaper man.
Yeah, he's crusty but benign. Yeah,
like. Wouldn't that be a great, like, you know, because Superman has his alter ego, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's so God has his, like, God is just. But he's the boss because he's God.
See, I think Jonah Jameson kind of looks like Glenn Beck, to be honest with you.
Kind of does.
I mean, he kind of looks like Glenn Beck. This is an interesting story because he's basically saying in this story that God is it's a sort of Jesus take the wheel sort of thing for Glenn Beck, right? He's saying, I had all these plans and I had this stuff and God told me to zip it and sit down and basically just watch him work. Like, I'm going to work. And it makes it feel like Glenn Beck is talking about, you know, this little network that he's made, the Blaze. It's like, let's not forget that Glenn Beck was a fucking millionaire when he started this venture. It's not like he just built this thing from nothing. It's like you built this thing from a successful career. It's like somebody, you know, is a fucking, it's not a miracle that you built a successful venture out of something like this. Like, it's like a stock market person makes a bunch of money in the stock market and then builds like a successful stock brokerage firm. That's not a, like, that's, it's fucking, it's one foot in front of the other. That's not a fucking surprise or a miracle at all.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is not the little engine that could.
Right? Exactly. Not, right? Yeah.
It's like, let's ship more money into that.
Yeah. You know, hey, like, man. You know, if I dump $1 billion into this thing, you know, and I mean, maybe it wasn't that much, but what the fuck do you got there? A fucking red camera, a guy to operate it, 4 microphones and a desk. Yep. You certainly aren't curing cancer there, Glenn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could whip this together in the better part of a productive afternoon.
You could Kickstarter this fucking thing. Are you kidding me?
Although he does have an awesome camera. I'm always blown away at the quality of his fucking camera.
He does. It's a red. It's like an HD red. It's really beautiful. I like his mic. I think his sound is actually really good. When you listen to Glenn talk,
his production value is solid, man.
It's very solid. Like, he's got some good production values. And by the way, I just want to mention, too, like, why this is important. Glenn is technically putting himself in, he's sort of priming the pump, if you will, for him to be the mouthpiece of God here. He's saying, look, I'm putting myself up to be a prophet. I'm putting myself up to say I'm getting a message from God. And so he's not like allowing himself to be attacked rhetorically anymore or even, you know, logically, because he's now saying God is running the show for me and this show. So this is basically, if you listen to my show, you're listening to God. That's why this is important, because people believe him.
Oh, sure. He's setting himself up as a prophet.
Right.
That's, I mean, he is now
a prophet for profit.
A for-profit prophet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not to be confused with a non-for-profit prophet.
Non-for-profit prophets right. are totally different. Yeah.
And I don't think he is a prophet, so then he would be not a prophet, non-for-profit prophet. So,
but it's just going to keep on going, isn't it? I'm not going to stop this one.
This is not going to end. Yeah. I love, too, by the way, that even God wants Glenn Beck to shut up.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, of course he does.
Even God is just like, okay, look, 7 billion people on the planet, and I have to listen to all of them. But
listen
you,
here, kid, I'm sick of the blaze.
You get a special message to shut the fuck up.
I have no problem attending happy weddings. Okay, if there is a gay wedding and everybody's gay, everybody's happy, I have no problem with people attending a happy wedding, okay? But I'm not real big on attending neuronic weddings. So I draw a distinction between gay weddings and neuronic weddings. And people say, well, what's a neuronic wedding? A neuronic wedding is what Nero came up with when he said, hey, let's do same-sex weddings. Okay, that came from Nero. He's the namesake for this kind of abomination. It's very popular today, outrageously popular. It's mind-boggling how popular it is. Now, Dave, however, I have made an exception. I think you can attend a wedding if you hold up a sign that reads Leviticus 20:13. I think that would be appropriate.
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, that you could attend a wedding and hold up the sign Leviticus 20:13. And, you know, word for word, a man sleeps with a man as he sleeps with a woman. The two of them have committed abomination. They shall both be put to death. I mean, you could attend a wedding and hold up that sign. So if you get an invitation to a homosexual wedding, and I guess, Dave, it comes down to if you bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, you could put Leviticus 20:13 on the cake.
So this story comes from The Raw Story. Pro-family group leader, even plumbers know Valentine's Day is not for LGBT people. Even plumbers. Because I guess plumbers are stupid, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. Like big slam on plumbers right out of nowhere. Like, What the fuck? Don't these people even like plumbers? Wasn't there like some sort of super plumber who was the hero and Obama was the arch villain a while ago?
Yeah, wasn't there like Joe the plumber was going to
fight Obama? Yeah, it's like fucking Joe Obama the plumber. Girl. Like you people love plumbers.
Yeah. Well, plumbers are like a symbol for like middle class America. Despite the fact that plumbers make like $100 an hour every time they're in my house. Like a plumber comes to my house. That's the least middle class person that's been in my house. Like a plumber comes to my house. They're like, yeah, it looks like the flux capacitor there. We're going to have to lube this all out. Maybe add some quads to the L joint. That's going to be about $1,300, maybe $1,400 there.
Yeah, that's going to cost you about, let's say, 3 Cadillacs and a diamond ring. What do you say? Throw a Rolex in there, we'll call it even, huh?
You know, I will say, though, I had a plumber out the other day to replace the wax ring on my toilet, even though that is work I can do.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
I have decided that is work I will never do again.
Oh, you can do it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do it.
Right.
That's the key.
I have never been so happy to come home and have spent $75 of my money.
That's it?
Right?
Jesus, I'd have it replaced every week. Are you kidding? It doesn't even need it. Just get your ass over my house and fucking scrape that gooey fucking ring out of there and replace that fucker.
You know, I was like,
you do it right now.
When we called and asked him, like, yeah, you know, I'm like, you gotta replace the wax ring. And he's like, yeah, it's like $75. I'm like, when can you be here? I
it's
fucking
like the chorus
love you.
Of angels.
I was like, you could take my child. I fucking love you.
That's one of those things, though, that when you're a trained professional, you can fucking just burn through. But when you're a fucking dope like you or me, it's an hour of gooey, shitty, worst work in the world.
Oh,
you're just like,
worst.
I hate all the things.
The worst.
And I'm full of wax that's full of poo.
I know. I hate my life. I'm not dealing with that. Look, there may come
it's
a time
worst
in my life
thing ever.
Where I have to deal with that again. But I have done my share of replacing toilets and wax rings. And if I never have to open the poo pipe again.
I know. There's no reason to do that. You gotta like stuff a fucking cat or something down there to fucking make sure so it doesn't smell. And oh, God, plumbing is the worst thing ever.
I can't. But even they know that Valentine's Day, Cecil. This is my segue back into the story. You like that?
Okay, yeah, no, it's good.
Even
plumbers and Valentine's Day in the same fucking Jesus Christ, man. You fucking thought this one up earlier.
I did. You know, no, I did not. So even they know.
don't even think about this show before we
I've
start.
Never once thought about this show until we hit the record button. Let me just tell you, even when I'm finding the stories, I'm not even thinking about this show. I'm just like, this seems like a thing. Let's do this.
Just accidentally hit a bunch.
I just randomly and accidentally grab stories. I just have it automated through Zeit. That's just what I do. Like, I read them as we go. That's why I'm stalling now.
Right.
Yeah. So this fucking idiot, he is the president of SaveCalifornia.com website, Randy Thomason. And his assertion in his 1 minute shit show that he puts out is that everybody knows that men and women, I mean, what he's basically saying is, you know, tab A, slot B. That's right, what his argument boils down to.
Totally,
You know, and even plumbers know that there's like female.
Even plumbers.
And, even fucking plumbers, those brain dead half-breathing,
brain dead morons that they are. Those awful human beings who have no worth in society.
Even plumbers, who we all know we should hang. If wait, what? What's happening? What was this guy to say about electricians?
Like, I know, Jesus, man.
Give him all the chair. Fuck, who will set it up? I don't know. We didn't think this out.
I think it's interesting because the phrases what he says here, and this is the phrasing he uses. He says Valentine's Day is for only one man and one woman. I'm thinking, which one? Like, what pair of them? Is it like a lottery that we have every year? And if you get the right number, you get surf and turf. And if you don't, you got to fucking enter in the Hunger Games or something. It's a lottery where you're just like, oh, fuck, it chose the wrong one. Hunger Games it is again this year. Oh, fucking Hunger Games.
1 out of 7 billion chance of getting picked.
I never get the surf and turf.
And the person who gets picked would be allergic to crustaceans. Fuck. God damn it. I'm a vegetarian with a shellfish allergy.
Can I trade this in for the Hunger Games or no?
That story appears to be over.
I don't really have anything else to say.
Okay.
I mean, hold on. Let me see if I could say something about it. Let me think. No, I have nothing else to say.
Okay, that's fine.
Pentecostal chaplain John Kaufman came out and said this: marriage is the combat multiplier in that it gives married troops hope and a reason to fight well, defending one's country, of which marriage and families are the foundation. But homosexuality is a combat divider, dividing one's reason to live while taking breaks on the combat field to change diapers, all because the treacherous sin causes them to lose control of their bowels?
So this next story comes from The Raw Story. Ex-Navy chaplain. Consequences of sin force gay soldiers to wear diapers in combat. I love the way that they lead this story off. A disgraced Navy chaplain. And of course, they're talking about Gordon Dr. Chaps Klingenschmidt.
You would change your name to Dr. Chaps too if your name was fucking Klingerschmidt.
I would, especially if my face looked like a raw hemorrhoidal asshole like this guy. So
do they call him Dr. Chaps because he's like he's part of like the village people and he's the one who wears those?
Is he the one
in the chaps?
He's the one that's riding.
He's got
around.
Like he's got like the big black chaps on and like a fucking giant Indian headdress on. Is that?
I'm just picturing like Pauly Shore from. I don't know, fucking old Pauly Shore movie where he's wearing assless chaps.
Pauly Shore from Pauly Shore, the show.
The fucking Pauly
Shore. Oh, no. Assless chaps.
Assless chaps.
That's what we need to start calling this guy.
Assless Dr. Chaps.
Assless Dr. Assless Chaps. That's his name.
So Gordon Dr. Chaps Klingenschmidt has evidently flapped his mouth hole again and said some unbelievably crazy stuff. Part of what he said is homosexuality is a combat divider, dividing. And this I don't understand.
What?
Dividing one's reason to live while taking breaks on the combat field to change diapers, all because their treacherous sin causes them to lose control of their bowels. What the fuck is he talking about?
You know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's insinuating that anal sex makes you poo your pants.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that, anal sex makes you poo your pants.
That's why you don't take porn stars to like 4-star restaurants.
That's why I don't.
Because if you do, they'll poo themselves right in the middle of the restaurant. They'll just be like,
immediately just,
sorry,
poo.
I was working earlier and that lobster just goes right through me.
Just bang, so, right out there.
Surf and turf.
Fucking lousy surf
goes
and turf.
Right through me.
It's treacherous.
You're going to need a new chair.
I love the idea that they don't have, like, their reason to live is divided? What does that mean?
Now, that's a part I can't really
decipher. Dividing one's reason to
live. You know
what
we really need to do is we need to discern the discernment here.
I was going to discern to some discernment.
Let's try to discern the discernment. So what does he say exactly? He says, homosexuality is a combat divider. Dividing one's reason to live while taking breaks on... Okay,
yeah.
No, that doesn't make
no,
any sense.
You can't make that a thing.
You know what the worst part about that is that's not him speaking. That's him reading a thing he wrote. Right. If you watch the video, that's not just him talking and blathering. And I've had that happen to me, too, where I'll say something and start to say something else. And, you know, I'll interrupt my own thoughts. And sometimes what I say is disjointed. That's totally understandable when you're speaking without a script. But when you're speaking with a script that you're reading from the fucking TV screen and it says that, there's no reason to write that down. That doesn't make any sense.
No, those are all words I know. And yet in that combination, they
in that
form
combination.
No thoughts. Like they don't.
Yeah, no.
That's not something. You know, and plus it's like, first of all, we have women in combat that are unlikely to engage in anal sex. Homosexually, I guess they could. I mean, toys are toys.
Sure, you
but
get pegged or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm not there to judge. But plus, like, not all men, gay men or otherwise, like, not all gay men have anal sex. Like, it's like he's focusing on one specific sex act. And then he's making this leap that it makes you incontinent. Like, it makes your bowels just... like, and that's not a true. Like, that's just not a true.
Right.
It's just he's trying to up the ick factor. He's trying
That's
to say,
exactly
like,
it.
I don't have an argument. So let's talk about, you know, the wax ring around the toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, no. And, you know, the thing is like to a person who does not engage in that type of activity, it may feel uncomfortable to talk about. I mean, to be honest, you know, like I'm not a homosexual. It's a little uncomfortable for me to think about, you know, gay men having sex. That's why I don't do it.
Right.
That's why I'm just like, oh, well, that's not a thing that I'm interested in thinking about. So I just don't do it. I also don't think about like monkeys getting decapitated. Not to say that those are the same thing. But, you know, if it's something that I'm uncomfortable thinking about, I just don't think about it.
Right.
I just choose not because I have power over my own fucking thoughts.
Sure.
So, you know, in the same sense here, what he's trying to do is make sure that that's the thing we remember about homosexuals. You know, it'd be the same thing if you were to say something about like, you know, and yeah, those women that are out there, their gooey cunts going to be dripping all over the battlefield.
God, right.
You know what I mean? Like, or whatever. You know what I mean? You could say some things or about, you know, about any part of the human body, really. But you're just choosing these particular parts of the human body because you want to try to dehumanize them.
You're a dick! Oh, be nice!
Oh, my son doesn't stand a chance. The whole world's gone gay!
Oh my God, what's happening now?
We work hard. We play hard.
So this next story isn't really one story. This next story is really like three stories, actually. And they're all distressing. Like none of them are good news because they're on cognitive dissonance. But there is actually a bright light. So the first one comes from the Raw story again. Idaho bill would allow doctors or cops to refuse service to LGBT people on religious grounds. The next one comes from the Wichita Eagle. Kansas House passes bill that will allow service refusal to same-sex couples on religious grounds. And then the last one is from My Fox Memphis, Tennessee. Senator Kelsey pulls his sponsorship of the Turn the Gaze Away bill because there should be a Turn the Gaze Away bill. So three states, Tennessee, Kansas, and Idaho, are all considering bills right now, Cecil, to basically allow people to discriminate against homosexuals based on their religious grounds. The Idaho one, I think, is particularly egregious. I'm just glad no one lives in Idaho.
Right? No kidding, right? You're glad that the population center is like one. They have a population center. They got like a airport.
Yeah, I looked it up, and it's 1.5 million people in the whole state.
Yeah, right. And there's more people who live in like four or five large cities in Illinois.
Oh, sure. You know, I seriously, Aurora, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, and Rockford and Naperville is basically Idaho.
Right, it's like the whole.
We don't even
like
have to get into the city. Like, we're not even talking about the city of Chicago.
Yeah, you're like three larger cities, largish cities in Illinois are much bigger. But you know, here's what I think bothers me about this the most, and this is something we hear all the time, and you know, this is something that I think that people constantly try to bring up when they try to argue against whether or not you're godless, and this is something that I think that people just don't understand is they'll say things like, well, how are you a moral person if you can't have God? Like, how are you somebody who does, you know, is going to follow rules and is going to, you know, have this sort of objective morality if you can't have God? But here we see the exact opposite of what that coming to fruition is. People are using that religion to actively be bad people. You know, your argument for that argument that they use all the time that says you can't be good without God is thrown right on its ear by something like this.
Absolutely.
Because you're basically saying, look, you can be an awful fucking dirtbag of a human being and refuse service to people when they really need it. But, you know, the one thing and you know, I guess that the Idaho bill has its silver lining in the fact that you can't lose your license for refusing, but you can still like get fired for it, which I think is like a silver lining. It's not protecting your job. It's just saying you can't lose your license over it. But I mean, it's a shitty silver lining. It's a shitty silver lining, but at least, you know, like it's not 100% protection on the law. You know what I mean? Like, so you've got to make sure you mention those things because it's that they're not trying to say that, but they are still protecting people that would be basically contributing to the bashing of a homosexual.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, why should your religiosity be your shield? Like, why should that be the shield that you get to hold up and say, well, I am going to be a fucking awful human. I'm going to do the worst. Like, I'm going to do something that is unallowable if I do it for any other reason. So we've said as a society, we've said you cannot do this. And then we're going to make an exception if you're religious. So clearly we're saying you can't do this because it's not right. But you can do this even though it's not right if you've got some religious reason to do it.
Right, right.
It's still not right to do. It doesn't make it more right because you have, you know, some religious belief in it. Like if you are a person who is, you know, uncomfortable, and we've talked about this. If you're in a position, if you've got a job where you think like, oh, man, I'm going to get forced into, you know, providing services to people I don't want to, then you have to quit. That's your obligation. Like your obligation is to say, because I'll tell you what, I like to think that I'm the kind of person that if I was put in a position where I had to do something that I felt was genuinely immoral, it was such a thing to me that I didn't want to, it violated such a fundamental moral tenet of my conscience that I was torn up about it, that I felt violated as a person in doing. And I like to think I'd walk out before I would do it. The solution isn't to say, well, you know, I think I should get a pass because I believe in a different, you know, sky genie. That's crazy. The fuck?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'd like to think I'm that same type of person. Like if I found something completely morally objectable, I wouldn't do it. I would just choose not to do it. But again, I think that this is giving the religious people the ammunition to be bad, even if this law did not protect them, even if this law never goes into place, because we're saying that if somebody came to us at our workplace and said something like, look, I just killed a hooker and she's in my fucking trunk. You got to help me bury her or something. You know what I mean? Like, clearly there's something morally wrong, right? Or, you know, I spent fucking this much money on hookers and blow. I need to make sure that I cover it up. You got to help me do it or whatever it is. We would say no. And if it's your boss or whatever and they're going to fire you, it's bad news for you.
Sure.
But you would hope that you would be able to stand firm and be like, no, I'm sorry. There is no hooker and blow account that I can put this in. There's no way. You know, I mean, you'd hope that you'd stand firm. But the fact of the matter is that people will see this bill. People that live in these places, people that live outside of these places will see this bill and think that they are in the moral high ground when they do make this decision.
Yeah, and
that's the negative part. That's the part that's bad, because this is clearly not a moral good. It is not a moral good to discriminate against someone else because of something they cannot control. This is something we learned, you know, during the civil rights era. This is something we learned during the women's suffrage movement. You know, I mean, these are lessons learned by humanity.
Right.
That, you know, we don't need to stand on anyone's shoulders to see this. This is a clear, evident good that we don't have to make up. So the fact is that people are going to see this and they're going to say, well, government's telling me that this is okay. It's my bigoted, stupid, fucking cross-eyed, hillbilly, bumfuck worldviews are righteous. And that's where the evil comes in. Because these laws probably won't get any traction. And if they did, fucking the Supreme Court's going to face fuck them the moment they come into fucking play. You know what I mean? The Supreme Court should be like, that's not a thing you can do.
Right. Did you see the Supreme Court, a federal court, on Good News Front, a federal court overturned or told Kentucky that they had to recognize a same-sex marriage performed outside of Kentucky?
Fuck them. Good.
Yeah. I mean, so good news is coming. You know, it's just, you just got to treat the fucking hillbilly states like the fucking redheaded stepchild that they are.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to give you some important information. Some important information.
Should I listen to the important information,
Cecil? You should
listen.
This is not going to be the same old bumper. So you're just not going to hear the same old bumper. So go ahead and listen to this bumper. It's going to change your life.
So should I tune this bumper out then?
Mostly it'll change our lives.
I hope it changes my life.
Yeah. Have you ever asked yourself, how can I contribute monetarily to the Cognitive Dissonance podcast? Of course you haven't, but let's assume you have. Now there's a new way to support the show. We joined Patreon. This allows people who want to help the show donate money per episode. No episode, no money. Each time we create content, we get a little something from you. If you think the show is worth $52 a year, pledge $1 a show. If you think the show is worth $100 a year, pledge $2. All the funds go to helping defer the cost of the show and to feeding us hot wings. Just go to our website, dissonancepod.com, and on the left-hand side of the page, lower left, there's a link to Patreon. It'll take you right there, and you can donate to your heart's content. If you think the show is barely worth your time, pledge nothing. You can still help out by giving the show a good rating on iTunes or Stitcher. So to everyone who supports the show, glory hole, you fucking rock.
So this story comes from the New York Times. Christian school faulted for halting abuse study. This story is super fucked up. Bob Jones University. I'm going to interject. Never go to a university named after some dude named Bob.
It's such like a, what kind of name is that? Like Bob Jones University. That's like Mike Smith University.
Right. Has there ever been a student who opened the letter and be like, I got in. Oh, where are you going? Oh, Bob Jones University. What? Yeah. I'm glad I had Harvard as my backup school.
No one has ever exclaimed in the history of exclaiming things that they got into Bob Jones University.
I wonder if Bob Jones University is one of those like 88% acceptance rates. Now I'm going to look it up because
I bet you Klingenschmidt has a degree from there.
He's probably got like multiple doctorates.
He's got like six of them.
Yeah. It's
you know, this is not a place you want to go. Bob Jones is not a place you want to go. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to read a little bit from the article. It says on campus here, students are forbidden to listen to popular music or watch television or movies. The student handbook tells them to avoid clothing brands that, quote, glorify the lustful spirit of our age in their advertising. They face sharp limits on dating and even leaving campus. They are told which churches in town, usually run by pastors tied to the university, they may attend. Faculty members and other employees are expected to adhere to the university's literal interpretation of the Bible and are forbidden to drink alcohol.
That sounds like a hoot. When that, can I start going?
Good Lord.
Can you imagine a less fun college experience?
Oh, my God.
I would seriously rather go to a... I would honestly, no fucking around, I would rather go to a public university and every day at 2 o'clock I get kicked in the nuts.
You know, I actually think if you went to a dental university and you were the dental dummy, it would be a better experience than going to this place.
Oh my!
You ever see those dental dummies?
Yeah,
by the
those
way?
Things are
they have
fucking
like fucking faceless teeth things.
That's seriously the creepiest shit.
Could you
ever.
Imagine walking into a place and just like there'd be like a million? That's a fucking nightmare fuel right there.
Ugh.
Dental dummy fucking warehouse is like nightmare fuel.
Those things are a fucking horror show. Every fucking bit of those things is
a
horror
just
show.
Google dental dummy if you don't know what I'm talking.
You know,
about.
I do think it's funny that their motto, by the way, is "We seek, we trust." Well, there's kind of a conflict there, Bob Jones University. anyway, they seek or they sought some information about sexual abuse that was going on by the fundamentalist Christian community at Bob Jones University. And then they got tired of it, I guess, because they trusted that they weren't going to find anything. And they found something anyway, and they fucking fired the people. They just fired the people, Cecil. Like, so you hired us to come in and, you know, do a little investigation, and we found this fucking sex abuse stuff. You're fired. Wait, what? Yeah, you're fired. And then the story gets weirder, because as you read through it, the representative, Stephen Jones, president of the university, great-grandson of its founder, said, "We grew concerned that in the process, Grace is the name of the organization they hired to investigate the abuse, had begun going beyond the originally outlined intentions. We terminated our agreement with Grace so that we could sit down and get it back on track." That strikes me as incredibly dishonest.
How do you get it back on track after you fire the people who are fucking digging into the bullshit?
It makes no sense, because he also says that the university had not told Grace what its concerns were and wanted to discuss them with the consultant, but could do so only face-to-face and felt compelled to fire the firm first. How in the fuck does that work? Yeah, you're fired, so let's talk.
Well, I guess we could talk freely now.
Right?
Now that I'm no longer an employee or whatever. I you know, one thing that should be pointed out is that I don't think that there's, you know, they're clearly not saying that this university did this stuff. But what happened was is that people would come to this university that were diddled as kids, right? So like if you're diddled as a child by your Christian pastor, you show up at this place and then you start talking about it with these people that are supposed to be your counselors. And then they just sign over like, that's not a thing. And it says here at the very beginning of the article, it says for decades, students at Bob Jones University who sought counseling for sexual abuse were told not to report it because turning in an abuser from a fundamentalist Christian community would damage Jesus Christ. What the fuck? What is every time a priest gets caught diddling, Jesus loses a hand? Like what?
Yeah, you know, it's...
And I got to say, before you go on, Tom, I just want to say, like, not reporting the abuse is just as bad as fucking abusing the kids. I mean, look at what happened to fucking Paterno at Penn State with Sandusky. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that dude was diddling kids. Somebody told him. He didn't do anything about it. And they tore the fucker's statue down.
Yep.
Like, fucking, you're fucked, dude, forever. They took away, you know... I want to say like 40 or so of his wins, so he couldn't be the winningest coach in fucking football. They were like, yeah, you don't get 40 wins. You're not going to be that guy.
How did they do that? I mean, he still won, right? I mean,
yeah, but they just don't count it as a record anymore. They just
alter history.
They just altered history. They're like, alter history. And you know, like the thing is, like the guy's
so
a fucking
stupid.
Awful human being for not turning the fucking person in. You're an awful fucking human.
Oh, for sure. The thing is, like, there's a reason that. It is illegal to know and like help and aid and abet. Like those are things you can't do. And who would want to? That's the other thing, Cecil. Who would want to? I am constantly baffled by this. if I knew somebody was, if I knew a child or a grown person, I don't care. If I knew somebody was the victim of a sexual assault, and I was just like, oh man, I would love to care about that, but I don't. I mean, like, how bad of a person do you have to be? How bad of a person are you like, oh yeah, man, we should really do something about that? Never.
You know, and the thing is like, I mean, I don't want to even say this. I was going to say, like, I have more respect, but I don't have any respect for anybody who does it. But I can at least, in some fucking backwards fucking I lost half my brain sort of way, understand someone who's trying to do it for something that's physical, like their career, or they're trying to push it under the rugs because they're making money off it or something. You know what I mean? There's some sort of physical bonus. These people are pushing it under the rug, or at least not bringing it to light, because fucking Jesus is hurt by it? Yo, are you fucking serious, man? Like, let me tell you something. Jesus' fucking popularity rating can take a fucking hit. You know what I mean? Like,
he's doing fine in the polls.
It's okay. He's going to be fine. Next week, the fucking Bible's still going to be a goddamn bestseller. You don't have to protect him from everything. He's a big boy. He can handle himself. He's not even real. He can fucking handle himself. So the fact of the matter is that I can't even get my fucking brain around what you were doing.
Sure, but like hurting, like, oh, you're going to make Jesus weak. Where is it in the Bible? It's like, yeah, and so if you believe in me, you should totally protect fucking sexual assault perpetrators.
Right, exactly.
What? Fucking, I don't remember that passage. Like, I mean, I'm no biblical expert, but I don't remember the passage. That's fucking insane.
It's in Revelations, but we didn't read it right.
And it's probably a metaphor. It's probably a metaphor. Yeah. You know, and in this article, too, like it says, they said not to go to the police because no one will believe you. To defer to authority like your father or especially someone in the church, she said. They said if you report it, you hurt the body of Christ. I've seen the movie. They hurt the body of Christ plenty. He got right back up in 3 days. Like, how much more are you going to hurt that guy?
Hit that guy with a fucking RPG. He'll be fine.
He's like, I got fucking, that dude is tough. Like, he doesn't tap. Yeah. I've seen that.
He can take a punch. Let me tell you something.
He can do a push-up with a cross on his back. I've seen the fucking image.
He's a CrossFitter.
He's a CrossFitter. It says their idea of an investigation and counseling was to ask me what I was wearing and whether it was tight and to tell me not to talk to anyone about it because it wouldn't look good for me. She said university officials alternated between saying it never happened and saying I was a willing participant. Which is it? Like, which is it? Like, didn't happen. Well, but if it did happen, you wanted it. Fucking.
I'll tell you what it was. She wasn't a willing participant.
Right.
It didn't happen that she was a willing participant.
That's
Let's
true.
Put those together. Yeah.
That's true.
That's awful. And that's the thing, though. That's the tactic. And there's so many people out there that willing participant bullshit.
I know.
So prevalent. And it's like, blame the victim. Look, man, I understand, I don't even understand. I'm not even going to pretend to understand. I think that that's an easy way to diffuse the situation and to push blame on someone else. I mean, that's all it is. It's an easy way to make someone doubt themselves. And it's just an awful thing to do. And you shouldn't do it, period. So the idea that this is the tactic they're using is just, I mean, it just makes everything more reprehensible.
Well, we don't do it with any other crime either.
No,
there's
absolutely
no other
not.
Crime where we're like, you know, you wouldn't call the police and be like, somebody fucking stole my wallet. Well, I mean, did you have a big wallet?
Did you have money in it?
Was it sticking? You know? I mean, was it bulging out of your pants? Was the wallet prominently displayed?
Somebody stole my car. Well, was it like an expensive car?
Yeah. I mean, was it a flashy car? Because it was a flashy car. You should kind of know they're going to steal it.
You probably shouldn't have that. Yeah.
Nobody would do that for any other crime.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
So this story comes from rightwingwatch.org. Bachman. Oh, she's back. Obamacare will be repealed because God listens to his people and will answer their prayers. And Cecil, evidently they're praying not to have health insurance.
Yeah. praying that they basically have to go into medical bankruptcy. Like, God, please, whatever you do, make sure I have a medical bankruptcy.
Dear God, if you could get rid of this health insurance that I have, the lousy, stinking, dirty, rotten devil government is making me have health insurance. And when I get sick, I want to make sure that I am bankrupt and destitute and can't feed my children. Oh, God, merciful, loving God, if you could possibly deliver from me this safety net, which I have been granted, so that I can stand on my own two feet or fall calamitously upon my face. Hear my prayers, Lord, that I may be fucking retarded. How does that prayer work?
Well, just like that. Okay, I think good. You did a pretty good job. No, I think you nailed it.
That's the
exactly
closest
it.
To praying I have ever done. That is that is
it's
probably,
pretty good, though. It's not bad. Yeah. I mean, it's
other
not
than
bad.
The, like, now I lay me down to sleep. I remember doing that, which is weird and creepy, too. It's like when little kids.
Oh, yeah, that one's weird.
Like, people teach that to their little kids. Like, your little kid is getting on their knees and saying, I'm going to bed now. I sure hope I wake up.
I know, gosh.
It's like, don't
have- I could see saying that during, like, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
but
right.
Other than that, like there's no reason. Like, if it's, like, fucking Walking Dead universe, maybe you say that. But otherwise, no, you don't say that.
Well, kids go to sleep, and they're, like, afraid of the dark, and they're, like, afraid to go to bed at night. It's like...
Yet another thing to be afraid of as a child.
Here, oh, what a sweet prayer. Maybe he'll die in his sleep. Oh, it's so heartwarming to watch him hope to wake up tomorrow.
One of the things that she says in here, she's talking about like stopping Hillary Clinton, how Hillary Clinton is like the, I don't even know what she said, something about like the stepmother of Obamacare or something, and she's going to bring in socialized medicine if she gets elected. I'm thinking, awesome.
Yeah, good.
That sounds great.
Can I vote twice for her?
That sounds like a really good deal for most of the Americans. And, you know, the thing is like, I would fucking seriously not benefit from that at all.
No, you've
like,
got
I
the
would
best
not,
insurance possible.
I have good insurance right now. I have low payments. I am in a huge group plan that allows for that payment to sort of disperse over a large group. So it makes a lot of sense for me to keep the insurance I have. It is so not in my interest for that to happen. But I recognize the benefits to society. I'm just like, fucking do it. Yeah. Suddenly my check is like, you know, much lower or whatever. It's like, well, it's fucking worth it. I never have to worry about fucking healthcare ever again. You know, like that's fucking genius compared to what we have now, which is just like, I have to worry about healthcare all the time.
Well, and it's almost like you're looking at public policy and social policy as what's good for everyone rather than just what benefits you personally the most.
Sure.
You know, and isn't that kind of the difference? Like, if I look at just like what benefits me, well, I mean, a lot of things benefit me. You know, I'll be honest, like, I'm in a different place in my life that a lot of other people aren't, you know, and there's a lot of policies that are probably that I should probably be more of a Republican. It would probably benefit me financially.
Right.
To be more of a Republican. But I just... Like, I look around and I'm like, well, is everybody as fortunate as I am? No? Well, fuck, until they all are, then we got work to do.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, somebody commented, I think, or sent us something on Facebook, and they're like, I've stopped giving idiots like this, and talking about Bachman in particular, any of my time, is what they said, something like that. And, you know, good, that's great. I'm happy that you've been able to do that. The thing is she has 750,000 constituents. You know, this is somebody who people look to and say she is in, you know, in government, able to sway public opinion on a massive scale. And she's saying this stuff. You can't just ignore her. You can't just be like, oh, well, she's just in this place in Minnesota. No, she's part of fucking, you know, White House politics. And she is, you know, she's clearly being interviewed still.
Oh, yeah.
She's a candidate for the presidency. You know what I mean? Like, she may be a candidate again for the presidency. So we're talking about somebody who is clearly, you know, somebody who... I think that people are paying attention to on both sides. We pay attention to her because she's crazy and she says some crazy shit. But, you know, there's other people who pay attention to her who think she has plenty of fucking logical things to say, even though she's a fucking complete goddamn liar about most of the things that come out of her mouth.
Oh, I mean, yeah, she's the most, she's fucking Pat's on fire liar. I mean, like, all the time. Like,
all the time.
All the time you look it up and it's like, nah, it's not a true. You know, one of the things that she says, God listens to his people, and I think if believers humble themselves, confess their sins, and pray, I think God hears from us, hears our hearts, and he moves. He moves in miraculous ways. And I hear that, and I think...
He moves in mysterious ways.
Man, like, God moves in miraculous ways. Seriously, the miracle you want is that people show up and vote for the people you want to win. That's your God's miracle. Your God's miracle is that you win an election because people showed up and voted for it. It's not like she's saying like, oh, you know what would be great? We could all get together and God can make miracles. So why don't we just have God make a miracle where everybody is cured of disease? No, fuck that.
No. That's a little ambitious, Tom.
Okay,
come on.
Let's go. Okay, smaller miracles. All right, maybe God can reduce poverty. How about poverty? Let's have...
No, it's a little robust. Sorry.
All right. How about God can influence by turnout a midterm election?
He doesn't come out with a big one. He only comes out with a midterm election.
You know, it's like,
God's like, I'm sorry, but hunting season is in November. There's no way I'm going to come out for that election.
I mean, talk about scaling back your miracles.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we
just keep on, you know, it'd be a miracle if everybody voted Republican.
Everybody voted Republican. It would be a fucking miracle if I voted Republican. I'm standing at the ballot box and I'm like, what the fuck are my hands doing? Why are they doing this? And be like, I've been moved by the Lord. Like, okay, well, that was fucking weird.
It's funny. You're talking about being a Republican would be in your best interest, et cetera. There's that saying, something about like, if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican at 20, you don't have any soul. And if you're a Democrat at 40, you don't have any brains or something like that.
I've heard that.
You know, there's like that saying. I was thinking about that. And one of the things that I thought about was, you know, if you're a Democrat at a young age and you're able to get the reforms you want through that. Later on, when you're part of the power structure, somebody wants to come along and change that. Yeah, you would want to be a conservative. You would want to conserve those things that you had put into place years before.
Sure.
But our system doesn't allow for that. Our system for the last, 25 years has been essentially deadlocked. I mean, we've gotten a few things through here and there, but these are all just piecemeal once in a while things. I mean, the people who are making the most out of government are the people who are like the ultra rich. They're the ones who are getting the most out of the government. They're the ones who are getting the most benefits and things like that. The stuff that we're getting is like fucking, it's like scraps off the table in comparison. So, you know, that's why, you know, you have, I think, you know, like me as a 40-year-old Democrat, I didn't get a chance to put anything through that was able to change anything. Because essentially my ideals from then are the same ideals I have now because nothing has changed in the last 20 years. Yeah, nothing's gotten any better.
Right.
So I think that's why it's a different story for us than it was for, like, say, the baby boomers.
So this story comes from the Raw story. Man wanted for groping 11-year-old girl in public is notorious abortion clinic bomber.
Why is he outside of places?
I was wondering, like, the same thing. Like,
you know, like, you'd think you wouldn't be outside.
He served a dozen years for firebombing abortion clinics. Let me say that again. Clinics. More than one firebombing. The guy gets 12 years. You know, people get thrown in jail for their whole fucking lives. Their whole fucking lives for selling pot.
Yeah.
This guy...
Three times. Come on now. Three times
you sell pot. But he's clearly firebombed more than one clinic.
This is true.
So even if it's two, even if he's like, well, it's three strikes I'm out, so I'm only going to firebomb two things.
Get two clinics.
I don't even understand. I don't understand this. Yeah. Like, our justice system, that was the first thing I thought when I read that. I was like, wait, hold the motherfucking phone. What?
Yeah. Like, it's funny because I was in a Facebook like it wasn't an argument really. It was just somebody asking a question about felons this week. And it's something I had never really known, but in 11 states in our country, felons lose the right to vote indefinitely. So they can, I think, apply to get the right to vote back. But in 11 states, it's fucking, you just don't get it back, right, automatically. In all the others, there's some system for them to get it back. Most of them after incarceration or after probation and parole, they eventually get the right to vote back. And somebody was saying basically like, you know, I can't believe, you know, they had said something like, why the push to have these 11 states now? And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, why are we punishing these people for the all of the time? Yeah, like, what is the point of punishing people forever for something that they did? You know, can't we just forgive them for something like that? And, you know, it makes an assumption, too, that all felons are exactly the same. Whereas I look at somebody like this and I think to myself, I think, well, this guy, you know, clearly the justice system is not doing the things it should be doing. If this guy, somebody who's bombing places and lighting places on fire like a fucking wackadoo, is out there, in the middle, you know, clearly this is a crazy person. And then you could say something like, you know, somebody who sold pot 3 times, they don't get a right to vote in like Wyoming because they take that shit away forever, indefinitely. Or New Mexico takes it away also for like indefinitely. Or Arizona too.
Well, and I do want to say, like, looking through this article, he set 3 fires and then was also convicted of arson. So it's at least 4 things.
Right.
It's at least 4 things, Cecil.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like arson. Arson's one of those things that I don't think you should look down lightly upon, because not only can you damage the property that you're aiming for, but you could damage other property. And, you know, there's chances are you can injure somebody because you probably don't know if anybody's in there, things like that.
Fire spread. Firefighters get hurt putting them out.
Firefighters get hurt. Like, I mean, that's a fucking shitty crime. Like, that's one of those crimes that's just a super shitty crime that really has an opportunity to endanger other people.
Yeah. So the motherfucker sets buildings on fire. And now he's out to grope 11-year-olds. And, you know, the thing that he did, he said, this says, on Saturday, a man believed to be this scumbag, Beseda, approached an 11-year-old girl who was waiting for her father outside a restroom, pressing his body against hers, grinding his pelvis into her backside. The man fondled her buttocks and thighs while whispering in her ear that he would buy her the drink she was carrying if she would just follow him outside. What the fuck? If only we had some way to know that this was a piece of shit human.
Yeah. Well, what kind of drink? Was he like, hey, I'll buy you a Molotov cocktail if you come outside? You know, sometimes we point out hypocrisy, you know, sometimes. We'll, and I think that's kind of a feature of the show, is where we'll go after hypocrites. We'll be like, man, this priest is preaching all this stuff. And then they're out there, you know, whatever it is, doing this immoral thing. I think in this case, there's no hypocrisy at all. I mean, this is right in line with this guy's thinking. I don't think he thinks women are human. I think, because clearly if you're going to blow up an abortion clinic and that sort of thing, you don't think women should have any sort of thoughts or thinking part in society at all. You don't think that women should have a choice in their own body. So clearly you don't care in that instance. And you certainly don't care about this little girl, because you're willing to like rub up against her like some sort of fucking twat and then like drag her outside and want to, you know, clearly do more than what you did. So you obviously don't treat women like humans.
A long black cock, a long black cock, long black cock.
So this story comes from ABC, but not regular ABC, like Australian ABC.
Australian ABC. Really, I hate Australian ABC.
Hope for further charges over marriage of 12-year-old girl. What's NSW mean in this case? Do you know?
New South Wales, maybe?
Well, that's a thing. Police are hoping to... I'm just being a dick.
It could be something else. They'd be like, hey, man, that stands for a direction that only we have in Australia.
Yeah, it's North, it's like Southwest.
North, Southwest.
So evidently a Muslim cleric decided that it would be the reasonable thing to do to conduct a marriage between a 12-year-old girl and a 26-year-old man.
That's not creepy at all.
Because fucking ew.
He should talk to the abortion clinic bomber.
Right.
See if he has any tactics to getting women of that age to like you.
Yeah, again, this is clearly like two people that just don't consider these folks people.
Now, stop what you're doing. If you're listening to the show, go to the website and look at this guy. Tell me if he does not look like the cop from The Simpsons. Doesn't he look like the guy's like, that's some fine work there, boys. Like, he totally, because he's got that pig nose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that sort of piggy nose going on.
The hot pants. Yeah.
In any case, this guy, this is great. And I think the reason why it's great is that they're sort of just fucking like, they've got a big book that they're throwing at a lot of people. And that's exciting that they're just sort of like, and you go to jail. And you go to jail. It's like Oprah giving away cars down there. They're just like, and you go to jail. And you go to jail.
Yeah, it's funny because like it's like related story, Muslim cleric charged. Related story, sex crime charges against the man married to. It's like they are seriously walking around like, I'll fucking charge anything that moves. Like,
do not push me.
It's like,
did you look at that 13-year-old? Jail, motherfucker.
Boom, take that. It's like everybody who showed up on the groom side. Yeah. Jail. Are you here for the bride or the groom? Groom, jail. Oh.
That's awesome. It's like one of those, I don't know if you saw, but they like they had the fake Super Bowl tickets that they would get deadbeats with, the people who like had like tons of warrants.
Oh, I've heard about these kinds of stings.
They were child support like for years and years, and then they couldn't find them, so that they would send to their latest address, they would send this notice like that looked realistic that they were getting Super Bowl tickets, and all you had to do was show up and get them or whatever, and they'd show up and be like, hey, you're gonna get Super Bowl tickets, and then they'd be like, awesome, and they'd be like, yeah, actually you're getting wasted. Like, what, there's no Super Bowl tickets? No, it's even worse than you had expected. It's not that you just don't get Super Bowl tickets, you get to go to jail too. Boop. Like, it's even worse than you had imagined.
I love the idea that they're just like, wait, but I still get the Super Bowl tickets,
yeah,
right?
No, clearly you do not. No, clearly it's not the case.
It's funny because like there's people out there who think that the police aren't allowed to lie to you.
Yeah, right. I love those people. They're the best.
And like they'll be like, well, yeah, you just got to ask the cop, are you a cop? And they have to say yes. And it's like,
they have to say yes. Like, that's the best urban legend that cops ever started.
I know, right? It's like, oh, you are extremely arrested. Like, you are all of the arrested. If you, because the thing is, like, if you believe that, you're certainly the person doing something illegal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nobody not breaking the law has ever thought for a minute, not for a minute, that a cop reason is like, oh, damn, they got me on a technicality. Like, that's never happened ever.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So this is the greatest story of all time. This is from the New York Times. Suicide bomb trainer in Iraq accidentally blows up his class. Oh my God, this is such a great story. Because it's exactly what it sounds like.
It's total justice porn is what it is.
It is. I love it. I love it because it's like, it's like fucking the police academy version of suicide bombings.
Yeah. There's a guy in the background making siren noises. It's like,
hey, wait, I can make the sound of an explosion. That wasn't realistic enough. Oh, well.
Get him, Hightower.
I love this fucking story. It's just because it's exact. He blows up all of the peoples, like all of the people. 21 suicide bombers. 21 people.
So is that like a graduating class?
Right.
Like, I mean, because you kind of achieved your objective that you set out for in the beginning. So
shortest valedictorian speech ever.
Yeah, I mean, really super fast. And go.
He was voted most likely to explode.
Oh I don't really have a lot to say. There really isn't much to say. Just like, and they bloated up. Like, you're just like, okay, cool. Yeah, you're dead. And you exploded. I think it's, you know, clearly it's justice. It's, you know, but one of the things I did want to talk about, and I guess this is sort of sad, I guess, in a way, but they were saying Iraq is facing its worst violence in more than 5 years, with nearly 9,000 people killed last year and 1,000 people killed last month. On Monday, a roadside bomb in Mosul in northern Iraq targeted the Speaker of Parliament. This person's name I'm not going to try to pronounce. And it says security officials said six of his guards were wounded, but Mr. Nujafi was unharmed. You know, it's funny because they have this, you know, they clearly have a war zone of a country still. You know, clearly this is the sad part of the whole thing, is that there's no one really in power to stop people from doing really heinous shit, like killing 9,000 people in a year. You know, I know that pales in comparison to probably how many people were murdered in the United States last year or whatever, but we're clearly a much bigger place, and people aren't dying, I don't think, as violently as they're happening over there. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, that's some awful shit. And I, you know, you're in a country that just does not have the checks and balances to stop people from really doing some heinous shit to each other. And that's the sad part, is that we kind of went over there, we fucking stuck the goddamn stick in the hornet's nest, and then we said, fucking, we're out of here.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with you. And I think that's borne out by the testimony from the citizens that are all like, yeah, fuck those guys. They're ruining our country. Like, everybody we talked to were like, they're fucking celebrating. You know, one guy called his buddy, and he was as excited as if he was getting married, is how they put it.
Yeah,
because they're so fucking sick. Like, the regular people, the workaday, you know, Joe, who goes around and is just like, just wants to have a life. Like, most of the people in that country are just people that want to have a life. They want to wake up. They want to go to work. They want to feed their family. They want to hug their wife and children. Like, they're just a people. Can you imagine living in a country where 8,000 people were murdered in terrorist attacks last year? You know, suicide bombs and shit like that. Can you imagine the horror of that? We had one event at the Boston Marathon. And, I mean,
two people died, I think, something like that.
Right. I mean, by comparison, it was nothing. I mean, I'm not saying it was nothing, but by comparison, in relative terms, it was fractional. It was insignificant compared to the horror of living in a country where at any time, at any moment, something could explode and kill someone that you love or yourself. And that they have to go through this shit is a fucking horror show. And the only way you can get people to do this suicide bombing shit, the only way people suicide bomb is with this religious ideology stuff. It doesn't work otherwise.
Yeah, I think, and you know, like, the thing is like we were talking about earlier, like, the average Joe, you know, the average Joe is probably just as religious as a lot of other people, but they're clearly not letting that, you know, change how they're going to treat other people. And they clearly think that it's a, you know, that these people are doing a moral evil. So, you know, for all the people out there that say, you know, well, you hate these Muslims or whatever. No, I mean, I'm sure the majority of them are just like these people. You know, and like you said, everybody they talked to had the exact same fucking thing. They're like, this is awesome because these people are bad people. And I would never say that, you know, like, the whole group of them is just, you know, they're all bad or whatever. I think that there's a select group, not only of fundamentalists here that are doing the terrorist attack, but fundamentalists that are running governments in other countries, that are putting forth laws that are subjugating people and hurting other people. Those are the bad ones. Those are the ones you want to rally against. Those are the ones you want to say, you're an awful fucking person. Just like the people here in the States that do awful shit that are fundamentalists. They have the exact same thing over there. So, you know, don't mistake that, you know, I think that they're all, you know, awful humans. I think that, you know, there are some select awful humans over there that are doing some really horrible shit. It just happens to be much more noticeable shit than the stuff that happens up over here. So we wound up messing up a little this week. My audio at the very end, there was a problem with my mic. So we didn't get the actual email section recorded. So the show is going to be a little short this week. We have to apologize to Daniel, Matthew, Ian, Teresa, Jonathan, and John. We covered your email in the show, but like I said,
it didn't pan out, and we weren't actually able to use that audio in the show. So thank you for your emails, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about your emails on a future show. But this week, no emails. We will just leave you, as always, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.